Great. So we started a few weeks ago the series called Hindrances to the Flow of God. I made mention that God is always on the move, and many of the ways in which he's described in the scripture are ways to describe movement, such as a river, such as the wind. So it's always, God is always up to something. But there are things that can hinder that flow of God. And we've been looking at some of these things. We talked about just being like Cain. Cain was half-hearted in how he served God. And he developed this anger, which led to hatred, which led to murder. And that God, that caused a hindrance in the flow of God. And that we don't want to be like that. We don't want to serve God half-heartedly. We want to serve him with all of our hearts, our soul, our minds, our strength. We want to do the best. We want to excel in the things that God gives us to do. Last week we spoke about Balaam, and that Balaam was hired to try and curse the people of God because they were in the flow. And Balaam realized that every time he opened his mouth to curse God's people, a blessing came forth, because whom God has blessed, no man can curse. And so Balaam encouraged Balak to, the only way you're going to get these people to become weakened is to entice them to sin. Entice them into idolatry and sexual immorality. And that's exactly what Balak eventually did, and weakened the people of God. And so for us, sin can be one of those things that hinder the flow of God in our lives, hinder the flow of God around us, as it happened with the situation of Achan in the city of Ai. Today we want to talk about tolerating Jezebel. Tolerating Jezebel, this spirit of Jezebel. It's been a while since I've shared on this. And let's read from the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18. It says, to the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. So this church is in the flow. I mean, they're increasing in the works of God. They love God. They're full of faith. They're serving. They're persevering. Verse 20. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I've given her time to repent of her immorality, but she's unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I'll make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I'll strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches the hearts and minds, and I'll repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with the iron scepter. He will dash them to pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. I will also give him the morning star. So I thought I'd read that because that's New Testament, and many times Christians don't know what to do with the Old Testament. They somehow have been led to believe that the Old Testament doesn't apply to Christians. It's only New Testament. But I'm here to encourage you to realize that the entire Bible is for us. Every promise in the scriptures is for the people of God. And in the first century, the only Bible they had was the Old Testament. That's what the apostles preached from. So it's also for us. But it's also encouraging when you can see something mentioned in the new, because it confirms what is written in the old. And as we share this morning, I want to, first of all, help us to see that Jezebel is a spirit. And that's important because it's not a person, so to speak. It's not necessarily, the spirit can manifest itself in men as well as in women. So we are, so get this gender thing out of your mind. It's a spirit that's work. And it comes against us in all different ways. It comes against us on a personal level. It can come against you at work. It can come against you at school. comes against us in the church, even the nation. And so it's a spirit that we need to realize it can work through groups, through families. And as we go through and trust in that God will give us insights and understanding and help us to discern when the spirit's at work, because that spirit comes to hinder the flow of God and to not tolerate it, as the church in Thyatira did. They tolerated this person who was in the church. Not to tolerate that spirit, but to take the appropriate action to pull it down. But to appreciate it, we need to reflect upon the Jezebel from the Old Testament and also the prophet Elijah, because he was the one that had a lot to do with her. And so just to remind you about Elijah, his name Elijah means "my God is Yahweh." So from his very name, it tells you that he's here to declare who is God. He's here to defend the name of the Lord. He's here to call people to faithfulness to Yahweh. And so Elijah, and again, although he was and is a literal person, there is a spirit of Elijah that the scripture tells us, for example, that John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah, doing a similar thing as Elijah in the Old Testament did, which is to call people back to God, call people to repentance, call people to faithfulness to God. So Elijah was a renowned prophet in his time. He heard the voice of God. When you read it, it says that the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the prophet. So he was a man who heard the voice of God. The scriptures, at least the New American Standard and the King James, says that when he appeared to Ahab, he says that I'm one who stands in the presence of God, which means that Elijah spent time with God. Elijah was one who waited upon the Lord, as it were, to hear what God had to say. He was that type of person, a man who enjoyed the presence of God. The presence of God wasn't a passing thing for him. That's where he spent his time. But he was a renowned prophet. Obadiah and others knew of Elijah. Elijah had schools all across the place, sons of the prophets, that he'd go and he'd train and raise them up. And we see this in 2 Kings, where before he is to pass on, he goes to different cities and he ministers to the sons of the prophets. So he's not just there in isolation, but he's there raising up others to share and to minister God's word. The book of James tells us he was a man of prayer. James chapter 5 says, in verse 17, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. So Elijah was a man of prayer, a man who knew how to intercede, a man who knew how to get the attention of God and to see God's will established in the earth. So put here in the notes that his prayers moved God to act. The King James says he prayed fervently. One version says he prayed with prayers. He persevered in prayer until God responded. He was one who understood that the word of the Lord by itself is not enough, as you need to pray the word of God into fulfillment. And so when he heard that there was going to be rain, and he said to Ahab, it's going to rain, he didn't stop there, but he went upon a mountain and prayed and sent a servant each time to look. He persevered in prayer until there was a release. And when James wrote that, he was trying to encourage the church to be like Elijah, to be people of prayer, people who would persevere. As you hear the word of the Lord, but you don't sit back and say, if God says it, that's all right. And he said, no, God says it, therefore I can persevere until it comes into being. And many times we miss out because we don't persevere. By the way, it's fine in this church, in case you didn't know, to say amen. Amen. You know, yeah, it's okay. It's even biblical. If you read scripture, you find Paul even saying amen as he writes sometimes. But Elijah was such a man that in the middle of the famine, when he went to this widow in Zarephath, that her son died, and he prayed, and that son was raised from the dead. So through his prayers, the dead were raised. So you can understand the effectiveness of this man of God. In the middle of the famine, he experienced supernatural provision. At the start of the famine, God sent ravens with food for Elijah. And when the brook dried up, the Lord directed him to the widow. And the widow is like, all I have is a little bit of bread, a little bit of oil, a little bit of soil, flour, a little bit of oil. I'm going to make some cakes for myself and my son. And then that's going to be it. But because of Elijah being there and the word of the Lord, her provisions never came to an end. Supernatural provision. Amen. To take care of the prophet. I mean, so this man is functioning at a certain level of the flow of God, of the presence of God in his life. And he's so protected because Obadiah said when Elijah came to him that, listen, if I ever go to Ahab and say that Elijah sent me, he's going to kill me because Ahab has been looking for you. Because Elijah had already proclaimed that there was going to be famine. And so here is Ahab trying to find Elijah because everybody is suffering because of the famine. And they can't find him. He's protected by God for those 3.5 years. I mean, this man's experiencing God in ways in which I'm crying out, Lord, I want to experience some of those things. I want to see your hand at work in my life in those ways. And so most of you should know the story that Jezebel had her prophets there. And that after a while, Elijah came and confronted the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah upon Mount Carmel. If you remember that story. And he said to those prophets, at least 850 of them, if you guys can make a sacrifice, and the God who answers by fire is the God that we will serve. And Baal, the scholars tell us, was a God who could answer by fire. He was supposed to be the storm God. He could answer by fire. Yes, he had not been able to give them rain, but he could still release lightning and fire. So they accepted the wager. They accepted this offer from Elijah because they were convinced that Baal would answer. These guys are not stupid. They believe that Baal, the God that they were serving, would be able to answer by fire and consume the sacrifice. And so they accepted it. And many of you, if you remember, they were there praying and cutting themselves and doing all manner of stuff, and Elijah's there mocking them, saying maybe your God has gone on a trip. You know, maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's in the restroom or something. What's wrong with your God? And God, Baal didn't answer because, you know what? While you look at this in the natural, there are things happening in the spiritual. I believe God supernaturally bound the elements, the works of darkness. So none of them could respond. It's warfare. And so when it was Elijah's turn, Elijah had them pour 12 jars of water on top of the sacrifice. I mean, they're already in a drought and you want to use the precious water to do that. But it's worse. I mean, the sacrifice is wet. But each jar, as you realize it being 12, it represents each one of the tribes. And there in the midst of that, as Elijah called upon God, God supernaturally consumed the sacrifice and all of the water to show that he alone is God. You see, the problem for you and me is that our faith is of such that we really don't want to put God out there too much because suppose he doesn't come through. Simple little thing, somebody is sick. And you're like, well, I don't know if I should pray because what happens if you don't get healed? You really don't, you won't know until you pray. And many of us have come to realize that the more we pray is the more God answers prayer. So we need to step out and to trust God to be true to his word. And so Elijah was able to do that and to defeat the prophets of Baal. And after that, he killed them. The Bible says he killed them with a sword. And I'm trying to picture this one prophet with at least 450, if not more, prophets of Baal. And he's killing them. I mean, he's supernaturally anointed. Just think about it. Because these guys are not going to stop and say, well, I'm next. They're going to be resisting. They're going to be fighting. And here is a prophet of God, anointed by God. And he's supernaturally putting to death all of these prophets who oppose the will and purposes of Almighty God. He's in the flow. He's anointed. Amen. And he does this, and the next day, Ahab says to Jezebel, do you know what Elijah has done? And Ahab explained to Jezebel that Elijah killed the prophets. And Jezebel sent a word to Elijah, saying, listen, by this time tomorrow, you're a dead man. In 24 hours, Elijah, you're dead meat. And the Bible says there in Kings that Elijah became afraid. And I'm thinking, Elijah, you've just been so anointed of God. I mean, you just killed at least 450 prophets, if not 800. I don't know how many, but at least 450 he killed. You just saw fire come down and consume the sacrifice. And this woman, this Jezebel, this spirit says this, by this time tomorrow you're dead. And the spirit of fear took Elijah. That should tell us something about the spirit. I put there in the notes some other things that happened afterwards, after Elijah ran into the cave and stuff. Later on, if you read it, Elijah still calls down fire from heaven. When the king is sending his servants to go and inquire of other gods, he meets them and he calls on fire, and the fire consumes them. He still uses his mantle when he's traveling with Elisha and part the Jordan and walk on dry land. So, I mean, the power of God is still, as it were, there. But for a moment, somehow this thing from Jezebel took a hold of Elijah. And it says to me, and should say to us, that we have to always be aware that the enemy is after us. And you can be at the highest point in flowing with God, and the enemy just comes and catches you unaware. So we always have to be on our guard. Paul says to put on the full armor of God so we can stand against all of the schemes and plans of the devil. It can happen to us individually. It can happen to us as a church. It can happen to you in your own families. Suddenly everything is going great, and all of a sudden, all sort of stuff that happened in your family. People start to stab people in the back, and all manner of things, they're wondering, what on earth is happening? The spirit of Jezebel is at work in your family, trying to destroy your family. So let's talk a little bit about Jezebel. Her name means Baal is husband to me, or Baal exalts. So she from birth has been dedicated and committed to this false god, to this Baal. That's all she knows all of her life. And she seeks to have control. The spirit of Jezebel seeks to have control, seeks to manipulate and to coerce and to get control. And there are many stories told. The one I have there is with Naboth. That Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard, and Naboth said, no, this vineyard is part of my family heritage. I can't give it away. And Ahab is sulking and going to his room and locking the door and sulking like a little child. And Jezebel comes to me and says, what's wrong? What's the problem? And he explains, and she said, listen, aren't you the king? You know what? I'll get that land for you. So Jezebel does that, and she sets up Naboth, gets people to lie against him. She controls and manipulates people and to get the stuff done. That's what Jezebel does. She controls and manipulates and works behind the scene. And so she will find a way to get into positions of authority or to influence people in authority. So if you're at work and you have a Jezebel, watch out. Because she'll try and get the people above you, or the people above who's above you, to turn against you. That's how she works. You see? So it's not just in the church. So I want us to be aware of that. It's not just in the church. It can happen in your families. Suddenly this in-law turns against you, and all sort of stuff that happened in your family. You're wondering, what on earth is happening? The spirit of Jezebel has come in to destroy your family. It has happened and is happening in our own country. Where the spirit got involved, and before you know it, people in authority are doing things that are contrary to the word of God and persecuting the people of God. The Bible says in 1 Kings 21 and verse, 25. It says that Jezebel urged or instigated Ahab to do evil more than anybody else before him. That's the way she functioned. She was the one who killed the prophets of God. Obadiah says that when Elijah appeared to him, listen, when Jezebel was killing the prophets of God, I saved 100 of them. 2 groups of 50. In other words, Jezebel made it her aim in life to destroy the people of God. Anybody who dares speak God's word, she's going to silence them. I don't want to hear the word of God. I don't want to hear anything from the Bible. We're not going to make any decisions based upon the word of God. Silence the word. Silence the prophets. And she killed the prophets of God. So that's why Elijah was afraid. Because she had a history. Any prophet she found, she killed them. And Obadiah not saved those, they would have been killed too. And of course, we know the Lord also saved at least 7,000. But whoever she could find the sons of the prophets, she would put them to death. So Elijah knew that when she said, by this time tomorrow, you're dead, that she was serious. And she was not coming alone because she was able to manipulate herself in this position of authority that the entire army of Israel is going to come with her for Elijah. So she's not just issuing idle threats. She's serious. When you meet these people, you'll know them because they're serious. They might not necessarily stand up, but when they say something, you take note because they're going to do it. If they say that, you know, I'm going to get this promotion, they're going to get it. If they say, I'm going to get you a job, watch. Be on the guard. I've seen the spirit at work in many churches. And has created problems. There's a friend of mine who, a few years ago, he came here and shared. He was up at IHOP for 3 months. And since then, he has establish the Jamaica House of Prayer called J-Hop. But he's one of the pastors in the church in Jamaica. And this woman came into the church. And in the church in Jamaica, we have a plurality of pastors. And she befriended the pastors. And at that time, we had a Christian school. And she got involved in this Christian school. And before you know it, this Pastor Harry and his wife had the children were young at the time. She got into his home and started to help him with the kids and to cook for them. And then suddenly, my friend Harry, Pastor Harry, started to get sick. He went to the doctors and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. Run all manner of tests and they couldn't figure it out. Lo and behold, eventually realized what was happening. She was slowly poisoning the man of God, putting poison into his food to kill him. And when they did the investigation, she realized she came from one of these satanic cults and came into the church with the intent of trying to destroy the church. That's the spirit of Jezebel. See? And so I've seen it at work. I was talking to a pastor a couple weeks ago. And you're saying how this church invited him to come and to lead them. He and his wife. They wanted some of the things of the Spirit. At least some of them did. And so they asked him to come and pastor. And so he's there pastoring, and then the Spirit of God started to move. And one of the board members saw the Spirit of God at work. Somebody was overpowered by the Spirit. And he was touched and he started to cry and all sort of stuff. And this pastor told me that event became the beginning of the end for him. Because others who have woven themselves into authority said, we don't want that. We don't want those type of things in our church. Oppose the work of God. And before you know it, this pastor was out. That's how Jezebel works. To stop the flow of God. I'm in charge here. And if I don't like it, you're out of here. That's Jezebel. And I can tell stories upon stories. There's a friend of mine who was pastoring a church, and the church was growing, and they built facilities. And the Spirit started to work through his extended family, his in-laws. One of the young ones had gone off to seminary and gotten their degree and came back and felt, well, now that I have my degree, this pastor should step down and give me, let me be in charge. And so through his mother and others, they did all manner of things to create problems. And before you know it, the church was split. That's what Jezebel does. So I want us to be aware. It's not just, you know, a theoretical thing. It's a thing that happens week after week all across this nation. Jezebel is, she looks and acts spiritual. When she was going to get Naboth killed, she said, call a fast. She said, call a fast. And then get two scoundrels to accuse him. So in the midst of things looking spiritual, you want to get rid of the pastor? Well, let's just have some time of prayer. God will lead us while she works behind the scenes to get rid of people in leadership. She takes care of her own supporters. If you read 1 Kings, it says that she had the prophets of Baal and Ashtoreth that she would take care of each day, at her table. She took care of her own, but if you are not on her side, you're in trouble. In 2 Kings, when Jehu is about to kill her, her son asks, are you coming in peace? And he says, no, I'm not coming in peace. As long as she is there with all of her witchcraft, there can be no peace. Revelation tells us that she facilitates sexual immorality. And by the way, she doesn't always manifest herself in all of these things. What is in Revelation is like extreme, but there's like a continuum. And she's unrepentant. There's no sorrow. That's just how she runs things. When she killed Naboth, there wasn't any repentance. I mean, even when the prophet brought the word to her about judgment, there was no repentance. At least Ahab cried out to God and said, Lord, have mercy. But there was no repentance in the heart of Jezebel. Because she's going to get her own way. And nobody's going to stop her. That's how the Spirit functions. So she came against Elijah. And Elijah knew what she was like. And so he ran away and became... He went through a time of depression. If you read it, you realize it real true depression he went through. And so the Lord said to him, listen, you go and appoint Jehu and Elisha to replace you. And Jehu was the one who destroyed Jezebel. You'd have thought it would have been Elijah. But no, it was Jehu. God had to appoint somebody else to take care of this woman, this spirit. Man, the time has gone by so quickly. I saw the Spirit at work in another church. Where this pastor had established it and the church had grown. And then a younger man came into the church, got himself onto the board. And before you knew it, you thought it was time for this pastor to be replaced. And this pastor, because he cared for the church, was saying, well, if it's time, let's get somebody and we can work with them for 2 years and then I can step out. And this person's like, no, you got to go now. And before you know it, this pastor was kicked out of the church that he established, that had grown to at least 800. That's what Jezebel did. So we have to know how to defeat Jezebel. What do we do when we see her at work, behind the scenes, manipulating, trying to get her own way, trying to influence people in authority? In our culture, that spirit influenced our leaders to establish immorality as a way to function. And so now we have people being taught about alternative family style, lifestyle, as if it's normal. That's what Jezebel did as a spirit. Amen. Bonnie was telling me a while ago about, just earlier today, about where she was exposed to this supposed minister who began to pray in this way, Father, God, Father, Mother, God. That's Jezebel. I saw that when I was in New Jersey. I went to a meeting and this woman, pastor, starts a prayer like that, Father, Mother, God. I'm like, That's not what the Bible says. Already right there, you're trying to distort God's word and to lead us into something that is not what the word of God says we should do, because our identity comes from knowing God as Father. So what do we do? Where in Revelation it says you tolerate the spirit. We should have within us, we're not going to tolerate it. We're not going to compromise. There's no peace, there's no friendship with that spirit. It must be pulled down, it must be trampled upon, it must be cast out. And when you come against it, or if God is flowing, expect retaliation, because she's not going to go easily. If it's at work, expect retaliation. I'm telling you. I've seen some of these people. Thank God I've not been directly impacted by them when I was an engineer. But I've seen it in the secular world. And if they decide they're going to destroy you, may the Lord help you. But expect retaliation. That's a problem for Elijah. He didn't expect it. He thought that she would have seen how powerful God is and repent. I mean, the normal person, if you saw that the sacrifice was consumed like that and he has killed all his prophets, clearly this God is bigger than my God. Let me worship him. But no, she's like, no, 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 no. How dare you do that? And she decided she was going to retaliate. And so you can expect retaliation. One of the problems for Elijah was that he allowed himself to become isolated. And so when you read 1 Kings 18, it says there that so actually 1 Kings 19 and verse 3, it says Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. That's verse 3 of 1 Kings 19. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. I'm afraid you know it, he's in depression. Take my life, I'm no better than my ancestors. That's the first mistake. He shouldn't have allowed himself to become isolated. You see? And any one of us, whenever you're going through these times, please, please, do not isolate yourself. Don't run away by yourself in a corner where nobody can contact you. You're just setting yourself up for the devil to just keep on beating on you you set yourself up for failure. And I also think the servant was to be held accountable. If you're a servant to the prophet, you don't leave the prophet alone. We see this when he was about to be caught up into the heavens, that Elijah said to Elisha, you can stay here. And Elisha says, no, I'm not leaving you. I'm committed to you until you're taken up. I'm not leaving you alone. And so that servant should have realized. And so you never hear of that servant anymore, because he's replaced by Elisha, because you are unfaithful in your responsibility. But the important thing for us, if you're going to come against Jezebel, is don't allow yourself to become isolated, because she's going to get her group together. She's going to work behind the scenes and turn people against you. So don't allow yourself to be isolated. And do not give in to fear and intimidation, because that's one of the things that she likes to do. Don't give in to fear. Remember that God has given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. I remember one time when... Oh, the time is going... I remember one time when Jezebel tried to entice me. And this person made an offer to me saying, listen, I can do this for your ministry. I can cause it to prosper. And I know all of these connections. But if I'm going to do this, I need to replace this person that you have here. They need to step aside so that I can take over. And I was taken aback. I mean, this person was actually trying to bribe me to give them a position of authority. But fortunately, I understood about the spirit of Jezebel, so I said, no, thank you. So what you have to do is to join forces and come against Jezebel as an army. That's what Jehu did. Jehu, when he was sent to destroy Jezebel, he didn't come by himself. He came with a full army of God against Jezebel. And in 2 Kings, when he comes against her, verse 22 of 2 Kings 9, when Joram saw Jehu, he asked, have you come in peace, Jehu? And he says, how can there be peace, Jehu replied, as long as all idolatry and witchcraft of your mother Jezebel abounds. And so he draws his bow and killed Joram. And then he goes on down and he meets Jezebel, verse 30. Then Jehu went to Jezreel. When Jezebel heard about it, she painted her eyes, arranged her hair, and looked out of a window. As Jehu entered the gate, she asked, have you come in peace, Zimri, your murderer of your master? He looked up at the window and called out, who is on my side? Who? Two or three eunuchs looked down at him. Throw her down, Jehu said. So they threw her down. And some of her blood splattered the wall and the horses as they trampled her underfoot. Then Jehu went in, ate and drank. Take care of that cursed woman, he said, and bury her, for she was a king's daughter. But when they went out to bury her, they found nothing except her skull, her feet, and her hands. Jehu came together with the army of God. He didn't compromise. He didn't try and work out a deal. He said, no, your time has come to an end. And he told the eunuchs to cast her down, throw her down, pull her down by, as it were, spiritually. Deal with it spiritually. Don't compromise. Because as you do that, God will give us victory. God said to the church in Thyatira, I'm going to cast this woman upon a bed of sickness. I am going to pull her down. You just hold on to the things you've been taught. Don't compromise. Don't tolerate her. Hold on to the things you've been taught. And allow the Spirit of God to do a work and bring this thing down. I'm going to ask Sean if he'd come on back. And so whenever there's a move of God, whenever things start to flow, Jezebel is going to show her head. Because she wants to get some of the limelight and she wants to bring things so that she is in control, so that she is recognized. And she'll do whatever she needs to do to get it done. If she needs to raise up a family in the church that doesn't like things, she'll raise up the family. If she needs to raise up some disgruntled co-workers against you, she'll raise up the disgruntled co-workers. If she needs to raise up some people, some extended members of your family, if she, whatever she needs to do, she's going to do it. And we, the people of God, need to be discerning and to understand. Want to see the move of God, to anticipate the enemy is going to respond. And not to allow her to battle like eyes, entice you, in other words, with things. And try and pull you onto her side. You stand upon the word of God and declare the word of God. She doesn't like the word of God. Let us stand. I remember several years ago, there was a powerful church down in Georgia. Became a mega church, 10,000 people. But the spirit of Jezebel was at work in the church through one of the brothers of the senior pastor. And all sort of sexual immorality was taking place in the church until it was exposed. I know that church, I don't even think it exists. If it does, it's perhaps about 100 people from 10,000. Big church, we were always going there for conferences. But the spirit of Jezebel was allowed to function in the church, and so the enemy brought it down. Don't allow Jezebel to be at work in your own personal life. Don't use coercion and try and manipulate people. Just be upfront. Because coercion and manipulation, a lot of that is satanic. It's witchcraft. Don't try and emotionally blackmail people. Just be upfront. Don't make yourself vulnerable to that, to being influenced by that spirit. And if you get offended, forgive quickly, because then the spirit will come and start to work inside of you. Don't give room to offense. And when you see it at work, take a stance. Don't be lulled into it. Don't tolerate it. Don't find excuses for it. It's an enemy who's at work. Deal with it spiritually. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Maybe this morning there's somebody in this house that has walked away from the Lord. I just said, Joe Campbell, this morning I want to recommit myself to the Lord. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody who needs to recommit themselves this morning. And maybe there are some people here. Even as I shared, you look at your at certain circumstances and you can see where the enemy, the spirit has been at work, coming against you. And you're saying, Joe Campbell, will you pray with me? I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Anybody in this house? We don't need to know the details, but you have sense that the spirit is coming against you. Just raise your hand. Anybody? Let's just join hands with each other. Father God, I thank you this morning for your church. And Lord, I pray for each person who's here this morning, for your spirit to be upon us. That Lord, as we go after you, as we go after experiencing more of you, of walking with you, that Father, we won't allow that spirit of Jezebel to be at work inside of us. So none of us become tools in the hands of Jezebel. And Father, I pray for those of us, oh God, where in our circumstances the enemy has come against us. Lord, we can see it. Lord, in extended families. Lord, we can see it at work. Father, I pray, oh God, you might bring to naught every work of the enemy against your people. Lord, we even pray for a nation where the enemy has been at work. And where the enemy, oh God, has influenced those who have been in authority. And has allowed sexual immorality to be established. But Father God, this morning as your people, Lord, we ask for this thing, oh God, to be pulled down. Lord, we ask for this thing, oh God, to be shattered. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we ask, oh God, for things to so, for you to so intervene, oh God, where your word, oh God, would be the thing that we look to. Where your people, oh God, be allowed to speak your word and not be the ones, oh God, who are being persecuted for speaking your word. That, Lord, your people not be the ones being imprisoned and losing their jobs because of your word. But Father, instead, oh God, I pray that your word, oh God, might be the preeminent thing in our nation. And so Lord, we ask, oh God, for that spirit of Jezebel to be pulled down. With all of our sexual immorality, with all of our sinfulness. Lord, we pray even for ourselves as a church and for your churches, even this community. That Father, you might protect us, oh God, from the spirit of Jezebel, who would seek to come in and manipulate and come in and bring division. Father, I pray for unity. Lord, I pray, oh God, that we might be of one heart and one mind, understanding and seeing what you're doing, oh God. That Father, the church in Thyatira, oh God, we would not tolerate Jezebel, but instead, oh God, we'd hold fast to the things that we know to be true. That we might continue to abound, oh God, in your work. That, oh God, we might continue to seek after you. Father, we give you praise and honor this morning. Lord, we declare that you are God and God alone. That, Lord, there is no queen of heaven. There's only one God. Lord, we magnify you. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Father, I see that you're drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. Let your kingdom come. Let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea. Let the worshipers arise.